Hope everybody's doing well this morning. By the way, you're going to find out here in a minute, Ryan preached my sermon. He preached the whole thing. I'm serious. Because I'm talking about matters of the heart this morning. And I'm over in Matthew, not the same verses of Scripture, but I'm over in the 12th chapter. And I tell you what, I always say this, and I believe it, this ain't coincidence. God knows exactly what He's doing. And I've told you before, I don't read my Sunday school lesson any during the week. I don't even have a Sunday school book. I don't like doing that because whenever I come in here, I want to be able to preach what God wants me to preach, and I want Him to show me. There's a reason for this. There's a reason just exactly for this. All right, we're going to read Matthew, the 12th chapter, starting with the 33rd verse. It says, "Either make thee the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. As a good man out of the good treasures of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasures bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you, that every idle word that a man shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shall be condemned." Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, I come with thanksgiving again in my heart, Lord. I thank you for this beautiful Sunday morning, Lord. I want to thank you for the opportunity we have to come out in your house. I pray, Father, for this message this morning, that it goes out the way that you would have it to go out. I pray, Father, that, Lord, that hearts would be touched here, Lord, in the way that you'd want it. Father, now I know there's no coincidence, Lord. I believe that, and I know you. I know, Father, that there's a reason why this is going to be preached this morning the way it is, the way it was taught. And, Father, we'll give you the praise for it all. In Jesus' name we pray and ask. And amen. Amen. Have you ever heard the story about a man who had a mouth problem? And I'll just tell you this little story. He had a mouth problem. Him and his wife went into the kitchen. Whenever they walked in there, there was a mouse in there, and that was it. They had to get that thing out of the kitchen right now. He realized that he had a mouse trap down in the basement. So he went down and got the mouse trap. He brought it up. But you know what he realized? He didn't have nothing, no food to put on the mouse trap. He didn't have any cheese. He didn't have peanut butter. He did not have nothing to put on that mouse trap. And he said, "Man, I got to do something to catch that mouse." So in his wisdom, in this man's wisdom, he cut the picture of a piece of a cheese out of a magazine and put it on this mouse trap. Went, turned out the light. It was in the evening. Turned out the light, and him and his wife went to the living room, and they were sitting in there talking and watching television. Had television turned down, and all at once they heard the mouse trap go off. Lo and behold, he goes in the kitchen, and there's a mouse in that trap. But you know what the problem was? It was just a picture of a mouse. and you say to yourself, what's that got to do with this Matthew? Because you know why? What's it going to do with the Matthew verse of Scripture? Because a counterfeit food gives you a counterfeit mouse, right? And that's what Jesus is kind of trying to tell us here. He's trying to tell us, whenever he says this, he says, counterfeit people who use counterfeit tactics are going to get counterfeit results. Am I right? Amen. And that's what Jesus is trying to say about this whole situation here. That brings me to the heart. That brings me to why Ryan was teaching this morning, what I'm preaching on this morning, is so important. Because I want you, as you're sitting back there this morning, to look inside yourself. I want you to look at your own heart. Don't look at the person beside of you, to your left or to your right, or the person in front of you or the person behind you. I want you to look at what's in your heart this morning. And that's why I think this message is so important. I think it's why that it wasn't a coincidence. It wasn't. Somebody here today needs this, or somebody needs to hear this so they can tell somebody else about it. Amen? Proverbs 4:23 tells me, it says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Now, whenever the Bible is talking about the heart, the heart represents the authentic person that you are. That's what it's trying to say. Whenever we deal with the heart in the Bible, it's talking about who you are. Take all the nonsense away, strip everything away. That's what the heart is. It represents that person's feelings. It represents the desires, the passion. It represents the thoughts. It represents the understanding, and it represents their will. That's what it's talking about whenever it's talking about the heart in the Bible. Again, I want you to examine your own heart this morning, not somebody beside you. Is what's coming out of the abundance of your heart, like I read there a little bit ago. You know what the abundance means? It means what's overflowing out of your heart. What's coming out of there this morning? What's been coming out of there? You know, that's my question to you. Is it true? Is it genuine? You see, salvation is a matter of the heart. Am I right? Brian stated it so gracefully this morning. Listen to me. And I'm just going to echo a lot of his thoughts as I go along this process here today, as I preach. Listen to me. Salvation is not of the mind. Let's get it straight right now. You know, we believe salvation, but he said we've got to believe with our heart. That's where salvation comes into being. There are lots, you know, the Bible says the devil believes. The devil can quote scripture, the best of them. There's a lot of people out here in this world that believe with their minds. They know the scriptures. There's a lot of churches like that out there today. But you know what? They're no more saved than this paneling on this wall is this morning. Am I their judge? I'm just telling you what the Bible's saying. You see, salvation is about the heart. It was on Peter's mind, and whenever he said in 2 Peter 1:10, he said this, "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and your election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall." I'm telling you, make sure that what you have down inside of here is true and is real. Make sure your election is true. Make sure it's true. Psalm 51:10 tells us also, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." I want to tell you something this morning, that through Jesus Christ, you can have a clean heart. Amen. You can have it. Amen. It's through Him. So what is Jesus telling us in Matthew? What's coming out of our heart will eventually come out of our mouths. Can you say amen to that? I want to tell you, what is in there? Eventually going to come out of your mouth. And what we say says a lot sometimes. It says a lot about our character. It says a lot about our love and our allegiance to Jesus Christ. What comes out of these mouths sometimes, what comes up from the overflow, the abundance of this heart, I'm going to tell you something, will tell a lot about how much you love Jesus and His people. It will tell you how much your allegiance is to Jesus Christ. That's what it means. It says a lot about that. Jesus is saying that the words we speak reflect what's in our heart. Can you say amen? I believe that wholeheartedly this morning. I believe that. Can you agree with me on that and identify us? You know what? Look at verse 33 again. It says, "Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit." Look at the last part of that and underline it if you want. But you know what? I'm sure that it said, it's very simple philosophy right there, that the tree is known by its fruit. That little bit of scripture right there can encompass a lot of sermons. Amen? I've preached on it a lot of different times and a lot of different angles. But right now, I want you to focus on your speech and reflect on the fact that, you know what? That what's coming, whether or not we are love Christ, whether or not we are allegiance to Him. Now, listen to that. It's very simple. If I go out here and ask Jason, there's an apple hanging on a tree. What kind of tree is that at, Jason? That's an apple tree. That's what he's trying to say. It's very simple. If there's a cherry hanging on that tree, it's a cherry tree. If it's a lemon, it's a lemon. I could go on and on and on. But see, you see what? Do you get the picture? A tree is recognized by what fruit's on it. What's coming out of here, coming out of the abundance of your heart, tells the Lord, tells everyone around you, what's in that heart of yours. Amen? How does your speech identify you? Would it identify you as an encourager? I want to ask you something this morning. Does your speech that's coming out of the abundance of your heart, what's overflowing out of your heart and coming out of these lips, does it identify you as an encourager this morning? Are you an encourager? You word can. I know the people who are encouragers. Do you not? I know that. You know that. How about what's coming out of there? Does it identify you as someone that loves God? That loves God's people? Does it identify you? Does your speech identify you as someone who knows God's Word? Amen? Whenever you're talking, whenever what's coming out of the abundance of your heart, what is it about God's word? Is it about the love that you have for God's people? Or let's go the other direction with it. Maybe what's coming out of here identifies you as a gossip and a rumor monger. Maybe it does. I don't know. Maybe it does. Will it tell? Yeah. Well, what's coming out? Would it tell people that you are a liar? Ryan read some pretty good scripture there this morning when it talked about what from the abundance of the heart comes all those things. Does your heart identify you? What about a whiner or a complainer? Does what you do constantly identify you as a whiner and a complainer? Or are you the type of person who seeks to cause division in your family or in your church? Do you see what I'm saying? Just like I can go out here and look at a tree out there and identify what that kind of fruit that is on it, whenever the abundance of our heart comes out, we're being identified, whether we realize it or not, we're being identified for what's the abundance of our hearts coming out of it. Whether we like it or not, people hear what you say and they identify you by what you're saying. So if Christ is living in here, coming out of here will reflect Jesus. Amen? That's what your speech will reveal your heart. Proverbs 23:7. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. That's the Bible. It's in yours. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat, drink, saith he, to thee, but his heart is not with thee. Jeremiah 17:9. This is very familiar scripture to all of you. I know. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Who can know it? I'll tell you someone that does know it. That's Jesus Christ. He knows. God knows where your heart's at this morning. You know what? You can sub back here and you can come to church time after time after time. You can fool me. You can fool me. You know, I'm not that hard to fool. But I'm going to tell you something right now. You're not going to fool the one that really counts, and that's God, and that's His Son Jesus. They know where your heart's at this morning. And when it gets right down to the end of it, guess what? You don't have to stand before me and give an account. You have to stand before just God and give an account. Amen? Scientists tell us that snowflakes, at the very center of every snowflake, is a little speck of dust. That's what they say. I don't know. I've never dissected one to find out. I'm going by what they tell me. But you know what that tells me? That tells me that at the heart of every snowflake, their heart is dirty. That's what it tells me. That's what it's telling me. You know what? Romans 3:23 tells us that as human beings, we are that way. Did you know that? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have. At our very heart, at our very nature, every one of us are sinners. We're born sinners. Our heart is dirty, let's say. It is. And we will start out with a dirty heart. But praise God, Romans 3:24 tells us this. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption of Jesus Christ. You got a dirty heart? I know how to get rid of that. That's to give it to Jesus Christ and let Him take. Let Him wash it in that blood. Let Him do that. He can clean that dirty heart. It's a matter of the heart, folks. Listen, the heart is the vehicle of salvation, not the head. Do we understand that? Yes, we have to believe. Yes, we hear. But we have to believe with the heart. Romans 10:9-10. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, now get this, and believe in thine heart that God has raised Him from the dead. It doesn't say maybe. It says, thou shalt be saved. Amen. Thou shalt be saved. And you tell me, well, I just haven't been able to get it. I'm going to put it to you bluntly. You're not believing with the heart. You're trying to figure this thing out in the mind, and it's not going to happen. You've got to believe with the heart. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's where it's at. It's right here. It's the heart. I believe some get the first part of it. They like to confess with their mouth, but they lack the part in which they have to believe. Jeremiah 29:13 tells me, and ye shall seek me, and ye shall find me, when you do what? When you shall search for me with all your heart. If you haven't found him yet, you're not searching with all your heart. Can you say amen to that? I believe that. The Bible tells me that. Whenever you truly get to the point where you want to search with every ounce of your being, with all your heart, you will find Jesus Christ. You will find what you're looking for. Verse 34 and 35 of also what I've read today says, O generation of vipers, how can ye being evil speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasures of the heart bringeth forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasures bringeth forth evil things. If you claim to be a Christian and you're lying, now I want to tell you this. Now, you can say amen or my to this. Now listen, if you claim to be a Christian, you're a liar, you need to re-examine whether or not you're really in love with Jesus. And you may say, why? I never read one place in the Bible where Jesus was a liar. What's it mean to be a Christian? Tell me. Speak to me. You've got to be Christ-like. That's why I'm telling you. If you're lying, and you see you're lying out, liars are coming out of your lips, and it's on a consistent basis, and you're claiming to be a Christian, I doubt that, because in Christ-like, you're going to be like Christian, you're going to be Christ-like, and Jesus never lied. If you claim to be a Christian, you spread rumors. You need to re-examine whether or not you're really, really following Jesus. Why? Jesus never spread a rumor. I never seen him spread one. If you claim to be a Christian, you talk about others behind their back. You know what? You need to re-examine your life in Christ, because you know what? Jesus was no backbiter. He sent it right to the point. And if you claim to be a Christian, your mouth is full of four-letter words, you need to re-examine whether or not you're a good witness for Jesus. Why? I never seen Jesus cuss anybody out in the Bible, did you? I never heard him use one four-letter word. And I don't need to go into what it's about. I need to tell you what's a four-letter word and what's not. I think you know. But I'll tell you what, I understand people mess up from time to time. I'll tell you before, I'm not that dogmatic. I understand people mess up. And I tell you, you know what? But if you're consistently doing this kind of stuff, re-examine where you're at with the Lord right now. Take and do that this morning. Jesus warns us about hypocrites over Mark 7:6. He said, He answered and said unto them, Well say Elias, prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, The people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. I'll tell you what, it's pretty blunt, isn't it? Biblical Christianity is far more than head knowledge, folks. It always has been, and it always will. This is where we get ourselves into trouble. It's not a head knowledge. When biblical Christianity, it's not that. It's all about whether or not we accept Him into our heart. Too many people think they're saved when they're not. How's that, preacher? Well, you know what? Because they have received Jesus into their hearts by faith. They have just believed in their heads and not their hearts. That's just it. You know, mom and dad brought me to church all these years. You know what? I think I'm a Christian. Don't think you're a Christian. You don't think that you're a Christian. You know that you're a Christian this morning. You know where you stand. You know, there's no thinking about it. You'll know. They're missing heaven. I told you this by about 18 inches. You know what I mean? From here to here. That's an old saying that preachers used to say years ago, and I brought it back. Sorry about that. Verses 36 and 37 tell us, But I say unto you that every idle word that a man shall speak, they shall give an account thereof on the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. These are some pretty harsh words that Jesus just said right there, folks. No way to sugarcoat them. I want to tell you something. My job as a preacher, I preached about this here a few weeks ago, it's my job as a preacher, and what I expect out of my, what God expects out of me, what you should expect out of me. You should expect, brothers and sisters, that when I stand up here and preach, I'm honoring God with the way that I preach. You should expect that whenever I stand up here and preach, I preach to you the truth. That I am what I say, that I am what I preach. Amen? You should expect that, and I expect you to hold me to that. But I want to tell you something. What I want to say is much better, is much more important what I say when I'm out of this place than what it is when I'm right here. How I act and how I talk is so much more important. How I act and how I talk when I'm out of this church, I'm out here in the world, I'm up at work, no matter where I'm at, it's important that I act and do, that I am what I preach. Right? Amen. It's exactly important. That's why the Word represents my Lord and my Savior. That's what matters to me. And it should to you also. Amen. And if there are consistently not, there should tell you your heart is not right with God. Amen or oh my. Turn to me to Colossians 2:7. I want you to look at this, because I think this is important. Colossians 2:7. I want you to underline rooted in your Bibles if you want to. If not, just please try to remember this. Colossians 2:7 tells us, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Why did I have you underline rooted? Let our roots grow down to the source of what we need to grow spiritually. And if what we have in our hearts is Jesus Christ, that is the fertilizer that we need, and our roots need to get down into that and get established. That's why I want you to underline that. Because it's important. It's important. There's good fertilizer. Good things will grow in that kind of stuff. Those people here that are gardeners, they know that. Do you realize, I want this grass so bad. I want to tell you this. I want this grass so bad for my place. They make a grass now that only grows that much, and the roots just grow down. You don't ever have to cut it. I thought of it. I told Tink, I said, if I could just dig this whole place up and plant it in that, I'd do it. But you know what? That's what I'm saying. The roots go deep. But they get down to where they need to go. And I want to tell you something. That's what we need to get a hold of. That's what we need. You know, we need the good stuff. We can get rid of the issues that can cause all the muck and mire to come up in our lives. But the only true way to do that is through Jesus Christ. The good news is that forgiveness is available. Ephesians 4:31 and 32. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. With all that junk needs to be out of there. And he said, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. The heart is the issue. We're supposed to get rid of the bad stuff. We've got to get rid of it. We've got to get it out of there. Add to the good stuff compassion and forgiveness, folks. You know what? In the parable of the sower, Jesus tells us that he said the seed that was being sown was God's word, right? That's what he said. In the parable of the sower. And he said, listen to this, he said, those who receive it and grow a good crop are those who have a good and a noble heart. That's what he said. Those are the ones that's going to bring forth the good crop. You can't have it if you're filled with rage. You can't have it if you're filled with anger, bitterness. You can't have it if you're slander and malice. Psalms 119:9 tells us, withal shall a young man cleanse his ways by taking heed thereto according to thy word. 1 Peter 3:15 also tells us the importance of having our heart in the right place. And he said, but sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. We've been studying witnessing on Wednesday night, and I know this has been brought up a few times here. But folks, all the knowledge that we garner from all these tapes that we're watching are going to amount to nothing if your heart is not right with Jesus Christ. You can take all that out there, and you can go out here and you can witness all that you want to, but you want to see the fruits of it? You want to see it come to fruition? Our heart has to be right. Our heart has to be right. You know, that's what I'm saying. Our heart, if our heart's not right, we're not going to be able to use that knowledge. I hope we realize we can't do this on our own. We can't do it. You know what? I'm reminded of the story of the little girl, and her mom would put a dress on her every morning, this nice little dress, and tell her to go out and play and not get dirty. And that's what he'd tell her. He said, go out and play and not get dirty. And so she would go out and play, and when she was out there playing, she would, of course, it would get dirty when she'd come in the evening. The mom would take it off and clean it up, and the next day they'd go through the same process, and she'd tell her not to get it dirty. Tell her, do not get that dress dirty. And you know what? She wanted to. The little girl wanted to. She had the will to, but she didn't have the ability to do it. And you know what? If the mom could have just put a little bit of herself into that girl, and she could have, with the will to the little girl had and the ability, this mom wanted her to do it. Listen to me. She could have kept that dress clean. Do you not think that's what God has for us also? We, as individuals, sometimes we have the will. We want to do good. But you know what? We don't have the ability. That's why God said, I'll send my son to die upon a cross. He said, then a little bit of my spirit can live within you. Then not only will you have the will, but you'll have the ability to do it. And praise God for that. Thank God for that. Because you know what? It's through Him. It's through Him and by Him that we can do this stuff. It's not by us. It's not by anything else. It's through Him. We may want to do good, but we lack it. Romans 8:9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. But if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now listen to this. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. I can't say it any more plainer. If the Spirit of God's not dwelling in you, if you're not that, you're none of His. You're none of His. And I didn't say it. I'm just repeating the Bible. God's wanting to impart His Spirit upon you, folks. Listen to me. If you're here this morning, if you're here, let's take a spiritual stress test. Let's take a spiritual EKG this morning. Let's do that. I've asked you at the beginning of this. Check, look into your own heart. Look down into it. And tell me. Tell me and tell God. You know, you don't have to tell me. Tell God. Say, God, you know what? I don't feel I'm where I need to be. I feel that in my heart. And man, if you're saying that to God, come up here. If you want us to shut our eyes and you just want to come up here and pray, I'll tell you, you tell me that and I'll have everybody's eyes shut and mine will be shut and you just come up here and pray by yourself. You know, that's how serious I am about this. I want people to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus Christ is in their heart. The heart matters. Let's see if your heart healthy this morning. They come and get a song.